As we progress, you will hear a deeper and a deeper word than most people hear. But to me, it's a sign of the end times. You will, and I'll tell you this, you'll know more about the Word, about the Bible. This body will know more about the Word, more about the Bible, than any other fellowship, any other assembly, any other church in this city. I dedicate myself to that. And that's not bragging. I boast in the Lord. But I'll tell you, you'll hear a deeper word. I give myself to the Word. I can't sing, but I can study. Amen. I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans, the 8th chapter. We'll start there, and I don't know how far I'll get this morning. I'll probably continue this tonight. What I want to share with you about today is the purpose of God concerning you individually, then concerning also at the same time what it means to the city, and then also what it means to this particular fellowship. The purpose of God. Let us pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we ask for your special, special anointing today as we bring forth this word. And Lord, we know that it will accomplish the thing that you send it forth to do. It will not return into your void. But Lord, I ask that we open our ears now, that you anoint our ears, that we'll hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And that, Lord, that we can get from this message what you're really speaking to us, and that we can be conformed to the very image of the Son of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. It is extremely necessary in this day in which we live to know the purpose of God. I was in a church up in out of state, and I won't say the church because I don't know who's going to get this tape, or I don't want to embarrass anybody. But they came and got me and took me to eat, and as I do, and as you'll learn that I do, I pick people. I'll find out what you know and what you believe and where you're at. I began to pick this couple, and I was trying to find out where they were in the Word and where they were, on what level, what plane. And really it would help me to determine what amount of Word I could share with them. I'm very cautious about what I share as to not offend anybody. If I was to unload on you right today, right now, what I feel and think about the Word, some of you could not receive it. And as those disciples that followed Jesus, when he told them that they would have to eat his flesh and drink his blood, they would depart from him. But I'll promise you, they are words of life. I asked this couple, as I shared with them, what they felt the purpose of God was concerning them and their church and their city. And they would give me this, and of course the church was supposed to grow, and they were to be witnesses for Jesus. And we learned last Wednesday night that we're not witnesses for Jesus, we're witnesses unto Jesus. We're witnesses in Jesus, and the word witness is martyr. You're a martyr in Him. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You don't go around witnessing for Him. Your life is the witness for Him, and unto Him, and in Him. For in Him we move and live and have our being. And as He is, so are we in this world. And as I began to get from them, that was their basic line of thought. And that's what they wanted to do. In their individual life, it was to be a witness, and their church was to grow. And to them, that was the purpose of God. And they were to go through this life the best they could. And when this life was over, then they were going to heaven. And that was it. And that was the basic thought and the basic line of their thinking. And that's the basic thought and the basic line of the majority of the Christian world today. But what I want to show you is that is not the purpose of God. His purpose is much greater than that. And in Romans, this is the 8th chapter, beginning at the 28th verse, 29th verse, and the 30th verse, I will show to you the purpose of God in a nutshell. And then I want to go to Ephesians 1 and show you what God wants to do, and Ephesians 3. And then I want to go to the book of Genesis and show you the purpose of God as revealed in Adam, the purpose of God as revealed in Eve, and the purpose of God today, if we can, tonight, we'll get to it, the purpose of God revealed in Noah. And possibly I'll throw in Abraham. It's according on how we're flowing and what is happening here. But the purpose of God, let's read it, verse 28, 29, and 30 of Romans chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, we've already talked a little bit about that. All things don't work together for good for just anybody who calls himself a Christian. You must love God. Now, that's the key to this particular portion, but that's not what I'm talking about today. To them who are the called according to his what? Purpose. What am I teaching you about today? The purpose of God. Now, there's two Greek words for called here, and this is the first one that we see. This word called in the Greek is the Greek word kletos. And what it means is to be invited. You have been invited into the kingdom of God. You have been invited into the body of Christ. You have been invited to do something according to his purpose. And he has known this thing from the beginning of time. You are alive today to fulfill the purpose of God. You have got what it takes to live in this day, in this era, of which we are alive, of who the ends of the world have come. And if you believe that Jesus is quickly coming, then the ends of this world, and the world is cosmos, it means the arrangements, the systems, the governments. If you believe that this age is fixing to come to an end with the returning of Jesus Christ, then you are alive in the age in which I speak. So we're talking about the purpose here of those who are invited according to his purpose. In verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now let's break that down just a little bit. Foreknow and predestinate simply mean that he knew you would be here today to now, and that you have a purpose in him. Now, the word conformed, it means jointly formed together, but the best way I can put it to you is molded together. Amplified Bible says molded together. You are molded. You are being molded. Your mind is being transformed. You don't think the same way you thought when you first got saved. Your mind is being changed. It's being transformed. You're being molded into something. And what you're being molded into is the very image of the Son. S-O-N. You're being changed, transformed. Metamorphosized is the word in the Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where you are renewed in your mind, you're being metamorphosized. That means changed. In the book of Psalms, they says that we are moving from strength to strength. In the book of Romans chapter 1, 17, it says that you are being changed from faith to faith. And in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says that you are being changed from glory to glory. To be still is not the purpose of God. He wants you being molded and changed and being conformed to something. And what that is the very image of the Son. You are to be individually, then also collectively as a many-membered body of Christ, and also in this city, all the churches together will one day come to the unity of the faith that we will be as Christ. We will be, are the word lines. Some of you aren't too sure of that. Maybe I can show you. Now look at verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now here's another word called. Now this is speaking of the church. The word for the church is ekklesia in the Greek. And it means the called out ones. Ek means out. Kaleo means called out. Invited. Not just invited as the first word kletos means, but it means you are put into something. You have been brought out of the world, transformed from darkness, and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, which is the church. Right now, the image, let me try to put this so you'll get a hold of it. The instrument in which God is using in this hour is the church. That's the instrument of God right now that is portraying Him, the church. You are the image, if you're in the church, of what He is doing in the world right now. That word called is kaleo, and it means to be called forth and put into. You are called out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of His dear Son, and this is why. For whom He did call, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. But what we do, we sit on our glorified bottoms, and we don't allow the molding and the pruning and the cutting of the Holy Ghost in our life to be conformed to the image of the Son. We don't want Him to change us. And what we have done, not here, but the Christianity as a whole, the body of Christ, the church as a whole, what it has done is it's changed the image of God into our image. Turn to Romans 1. I was going to save this to tonight, but let's go ahead and get it. I'm right here on it. We are to be conformed to His image. Is that what I just showed you? Everybody say image. 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 You are being changed from one, either you are being changed from an image of God or the Son of God, or either you're being changed into another image. There are two seeds. There's the serpent seed and there's the seed of the woman. And you're being changed into one of those. You cannot just sit where you're at. You're being changed from one to the other. You're either going back into the world or you're coming out of the world. They carried vessels from Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar took over and captured the city of Jerusalem. They took vessels from Jerusalem back to Babylon. You are a vessel. You're either going to Babylon or you're either being carried by Ezra in his book back to Jerusalem. You're either going to Babylon or you're either being carried back from Babylon back to the church, Jerusalem. You're going one way or the other. You're being changed from one image to another image. You're either being changed to the seed of the serpent or you're being changed to the seed of the woman. And the final seed of the woman is Christ. That's what you're to be changed to the image to. Does that make sense? Now what we have done is we have changed this thing around from what God has taught us and told us to do. And in the 23rd is what I want. But back up to the 21st, let me just give you this, of Romans 1. And if you've ever read the book of Romans, and here we're talking about some heavy stuff. He's talking about homosexuality. He's talking about lesbianism. He's talking about some heavy stuff. But look what it says here. Now we always look at this as those who don't know God, the lost, those in darkness. But look what it says. Because that when they knew God, they knew God. This is not just the lost. This is also those that know God. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. That speaks of the days of Noah. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That word became fools is moreno in the Greek, and it's the word that we get moron from. Paul says they became moron. Morons. Now, here's what I want. And changed. Now, we're to be changed into His image, but look what we have done. They have changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. We have changed the image of an uncorruptible God into the image of a man like we want him. We've changed the image of Christ to something that we can see, that we can get a hold of, or worse, bird, something that can fly, or four-footed beast, that's quadruped, four-footed beast, walks on four, or a snake. And by doing this, and I'm not going to get into it too deep, but by doing what we have done is we've taken the rock Christ Jesus, we've taken our spiritual chisels, we've hewed away at the rock Christ Jesus, and we've come up with a Baptist Jesus, a Methodist Jesus, a Presbyterian Jesus, an Assemblies of God Jesus, a Catholic Jesus. We have changed His image into what we want it to be. We have totally reversed the program of God. His purpose is for us to be changed into His image. But what we have done is taken it and put Him and made Him like we want Him to be. We've made Him so that we can look good compared to Him. We've brought Him down to our level rather than ourselves being raised to His. I hope you're hearing this. We have changed the incorruptible Jesus into something we want it to be. Something that we can be accepted in. Now, back over to where we were at in Romans 8. Remember that He has called you. He chose you. You did not choose Him. John 14 and 16 says that He chose you. You are called into this thing. Why haven't a lot of people out there been brought in yet? Because He's not called them yet. Because it says, unless the Spirit... No, that's not what it says. We quote it as unless the Spirit draws man. That's not what it says. It says the Father shall draw the man. Do you need to see that? Turn to John 7. Let me show you. I got to get on with my message. Quit running around here. John chapter 7. And verse 44, we need to quote this verse right. The Father chooses you. Jesus chooses you. John 7 and 44. No man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Father draws. John 7, 44. Turn over and look at 65, verse 65. He'll underline that thing. And He said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by my Father. Who chooses you? The Father. And you can't come into this thing unless you're chosen. You have been chosen, invited, first of all, and then after you've been chosen and invited, you've been placed. You are right where you're supposed to be sitting today by the purpose and the will of God. It is not by chance you're sitting there listening to me this morning. It is the very will of God. He's chosen you and He's put you where you're at. The Father did that. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read verses 9, 10, and 11. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath, what am I teaching you? Purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the what? The purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, if that's true, you are exactly where you're supposed to be today by His purpose. The Father has put you where you are. You have got to see that. You're not here by chance. You are here by His divine purpose. Why? Back to verse 10. This is what I want from this verse. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time. The Amplified Bible says the maturity of the times and the climax of the ages. This is it. It's winding up. The fullness of the times have come. This is the last times. 1 Peter 1 and 5 says this, that there is a salvation that will be revealed in the last days. We haven't even got all of our salvation yet. There is still a part of salvation that will be given to us in the last days. There is more to come. It's going to get better and better. He saves the best wine for last. It's getting better. But darkness, the Bible says, shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Isaiah says, for you to arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee, and the glory of the Lord will be shining upon Lafayette. Upon your world, the glory of the Lord will be shining upon it. In the fullness of the times. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:11 says that we are them who the ends of the age have come. The ends of the world, the ends of this world system has come. We are it. It's winding up. And the purpose of God concerning you today is to conform, be molded into the very image of the Son, Christ. Now, let me give you this. I'll teach you about it one day when I can. The Christ in you, the hope of glory, 1 Colossians 1:27. What it means, the word Christ, means the anointed. Christ in you. The anointing in you. The hope of glory. All that Christ is in you. All that Christ does is in you. The fruit of the Spirit, of what He is, His nature, and the gifts of the Spirit, the nine manifestations of the gifts, are in you. The mind of Christ is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've got everything you need to be conformed into an image in which you know not. You are being changed from strength to strength, from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. Jesus said in Sunday school this morning, it hit me. Lucifer means the light or a light. I'm back up in the moon, get it right. The word Lucifer means the bright one, the brilliant one. But as I know and as you know, he is a false light. For Corinthians says that he is transformed into an angel of light. But Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He is an artificial light. He is the moon, and the moon can only reflect what the sun bounces off of it. But he says, you are the light. We are the light of this city. And once we can get that inside of us and let it not be no longer words, but walk it out. A boy this week, he didn't say it to me. He said it to a man that I know. Has known me for years. He knew me back when I was in darkness. And something was said about me. And he said, no, not Delbert. He said, no, I'm not talking about lately. I'm talking about back there. You are known by your light. Your light, your life is a light. He knew me now. My life is a witness unto Jesus. He knows that I'm dead. Delbert is dead. And his life is hid with Christ in God. I'm in the ark. I'm in Noah's ark. Noah's ark is Christ. I'll show you tonight. Chapter 3, Ephesians. I'm out of time. 12 o'clock. Oh. Chapter 3, verses 9, 10, and 11 again. And to make all men see. Paul's trying to get all men to see something. I'm trying to get you to see something today. I'm trying to get you to see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What is the fellowship of the mystery? To be conformed into an image. To get all men to see the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And that's, well, that's a bunch right there. In verse 10, to the intent that when does he want it done? Now.
Now faith is. Now. He wants it done now, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal what? Purpose. Purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul's trying to tell men something. God is trying to tell the church something. He wants you to know today that He wants to tell principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. The word of wisdom, the gift of the Spirit, the word of wisdom, is having the right answer at the right time. It's the perfect answer at the perfect time. What we're talking about here is the manifold wisdom of God. We're talking about a church that has all the answers. Many-sided is what that word manifold means. All the sides of God, you can have the wisdom. And Colossians tells us that in Christ Jesus is hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. And where does He live? He lives in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. We are building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the church with all the answers. I want to be a part of a church that's got all the answers. I want this city to come to First Assembly of God for answers. I want them to ask you, the body of Christ, the answers to the needs of this city. What do you think we should do about this? What do you think we should do about that? I told you, I think it was Wednesday night or last Sunday night, or sometime I said it, that we now dictate politics in the United States. Last presidential election, they were afraid that we would turn out to the polls and vote. We did turn out to the polls and vote. And now they're afraid that every time they have an election, we're coming to the polls to vote. And you can't be in the White House unless you're one of us. And it should be that way in every city and every province. It should be that way. You should dictate who has anything to say about anything. The church is set up that way. You're set up to have all the answers. If you don't want pornography in the city, it shouldn't be that. If you have got somebody that is in dark sin, in politics, get him out. We should dictate, rule, and reign the world. It's coming. They are afraid of us. They've heard about us. Jericho heard about Israel. They've heard about us. I was looking back at some old notes this morning that I had taught a long time ago. It was from the book of John. In the first chapter, Andrew and John were told by John the Baptist that he was the Lamb of God. And they took off after him, John and Andrew. And they got up to him, and he turned around and he asked them, what do they want? And they said, Master. Master. He has to be your master. We want to see where do you dwell? Where do you stay? Where do you live? And Jesus said, come and see. Come and see. I want you and me to come to the place in Him that people will come running up to us. Where do you go to church? Where do you worship God? What is it that makes you different? Why are you the Lamb of God in this light? In this life, in this world, in this city? And I want you to be able to see. Say, come and see. Come and see. As I go to the church with all the answers. He wants to show the principalities and powers in heavenly places the manifold, many-sided wisdom of God. Now, within you resides the Creator of the universe, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has chosen you to make His residence in. Now, I'm not taking away from the flesh and bone man that sits in the heavens. But I'm talking about the infilling and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in your life, which is the manifestation of the Father and the Son in your life. 1 John chapter 14. St. John chapter 14. Wisdom and knowledge. He wants the church to become that. When? When the fullness of the times have come. The day in which we're living. And let me give you this real, real quick, and we'll start right here tonight. Go to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. What have I said? Let me try to summarize as you're turning. First of all, for you individually, you're to be conformed to the image of Christ, the image of the Son. Secondly of all, this will manifest itself in its fullness at the fullness of the times. Thirdly of all, God is His purpose that the church should have the manifold and manifold wisdoms of God to show the principalities and the powers. Who has the answers? The church has the real answers. It happens in the fullness of the times. Now, I'll give you this. I'm referring from Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, down through verse 28. What I am speaking about right here is the creation of man. Verse 26, and I'll hit it. And God said, let us make man in our what? Image. You are to be conformed to what? The image. Now, what I'm wanting right here to show you, and then we'll stop and we'll pick it up right here tonight. God created man the sixth day, didn't He? What day was man created? Still awake? Sixth day. Why didn't He create man the first day, or the second day, or the third day, or the fourth day, or the fifth day? Have you ever worked on your car and had a little boy, and he come out there and say,